Welcome to Make It Rain with Adam Schein on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh, yes. Hello, Friday. Friday edition. Summer Friday edition of Make It Rain with Adam Schein here on VSiN. And my goodness, we have so much to do today. Round two of the NBA draft in the books. We have winners. We have losers. We have freaks. We have Chris Bertola, who's a winner. He's going to join us coming up in 30 minutes. We will get into everything that happened with the NBA draft, and we will get into what is going to happen next in the NBA. We have a lot to say on LeBron. We have a lot to say on the Lakers. Some big news today involving an executive out with a signature team that could impact the LA Lakers and impact Los Angeles when it comes to what's next here for the LA Lakers. We have some great NFL coming up in a little bit. We will get into the very latest on the Cleveland, the New Orleans, the Indy, and the Giants quarterback situation. We have some odds. We have some bets. We have a ton of great baseball to get into. We'll get into the AL East. We'll get into Clayton Kershaw. We'll get into the Dodgers. The games this weekend in Major League Baseball, off the charts. So much great stuff you can bet on coming up this weekend. We'll get into a signature injury in the WNBA and what it means for betting tonight and this weekend. We have four topics to start today, including the fact that the draft is over. So now we're on to phase two of the NBA offseason. And that means it's the summer of Giannis. And you kind of want to say it like Ron Burgundy. I'm Ron Burgundy. Put a question mark at the end. Because normally when you know that a signature player is going to be available, it's summer of LeBron, summer of Durant. That's not the case when you look at Giannis Antetokounmpo, which is why there's a question mark there. And if you listen to our friend Shams Charania over at ESPN, if you listen to our friend Brian Windhorst over at ESPN, if you understand the landscape here when it comes to the Eastern Conference, it makes sense for Giannis Antetokounmpo not to get traded now. And remember, Shams had that report in May that for the first time that Giannis was thinking of leaving Milwaukee. But I think that the odds for Giannis's next team, this is brilliant and really smart on the part of Vegas, right? Because I think that Giannis right now, the likelihood is he plays his first game of the season with the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, I think that's where it's headed right now. And Brian Windhorst said that there is no active market for Giannis because at the end of the day, Milwaukee, when you see the landscape of obviously Tyrese Halliburton is not going to play next year and Jason Tatum's not going to play next year, it's so wide open in the East that they're thinking, okay, let's take our crack. Look at the Eastern Conference odds, right? And you look at it, and I think that Vegas has it right from a Milwaukee standpoint now. I don't necessarily agree with, as an example, where Philly is placed. I would never take Philly to win the Eastern Conference. But I think next week, and free agency starts, league year starts, trade start, 6 o'clock Eastern on Monday. Next week is a big week in the world of the NBA, big week in the world of sports. And that's going to be a big sequence coming up here for the Milwaukee Bucks. Can they do enough to say to Giannis Antetokounmpo, you could win another ring, you could win another championship right here, right now with our team? Call off the dogs in terms of thinking that there's going to be another team or another situation that's going to be better. So I think that with, you know, the Cavs, who are the Eastern Conference favorites, and they can't get out of the second round, and Donovan Mitchell going back to his Utah days, and I love the Cavs, but there's something to prove. Knicks don't have a coach. Celtics don't have a roster. I really dig Orlando. I really dig Detroit, but there's a definite wait and see. You know, Giannis does have a ring. Doc Rivers does have a ring. I mean, I don't necessarily believe that this group can duplicate it again, but that's where we're at right now. I don't think there's a shot that we see a Giannis trade next week. But Shams and Windy both saying, okay, maybe there's one end of July. Maybe there's one in August if Antetokounmpo thinks that this team in Milwaukee can't compete, which is why, guys, put on the Giannis next team odds board again, which is why I think if you're looking for a team that ultimately is a good bet other than Milwaukee, here are the three that you reference. Knicks at 10-1, Spurs 14-1, Heat 30-1. I think that those are the three bets that make the most sense if you're looking for a team that's not Milwaukee. I think the Spurs have the most to offer, and Giannis is said to be very interested. I think there's a real shot he could say, get me to New York, get me to Miami. And remember, neither one of those teams got Kevin Durant. And the Knicks told Phoenix they were not into trading for Kevin Durant before he was traded to Houston. So I think the Knicks are viable. I think Miami's viable. Knicks more so than Miami. And no team, when it's all said and done, has more to offer here than the San Antonio Spurs. So it's not stamp it summer of Giannis, but clearly at the end of the day, there's something brewing here. You know, we'll see if Milwaukee can ultimately add to the mix and those odds increase as the favorite where they can win the Eastern Conference. I don't think Giannis gets moved next week, but again, it's the NBA. We've seen crazy things happen, of course, in the association. And with that said, LeBron James could opt out of his contract this weekend. This is kind of a big deal, right? LeBron is a player option, and it's a deadline coming up this weekend where he's got to decide by Sunday if he's going to opt out of his deal. Austin Reeves reportedly declined the Lakers' $82.9 million offer. I don't think LeBron's going anywhere. I don't think Austin Reeves is going anywhere. But there's a pivotal offseason for Rob Pelinka, the general manager, because remember, the Dodgers owner is going to be buying the Lakers, and that sale is going to go through later this year. And Masai Ujiri is out in Toronto. And Masai Ujiri is a sensational executive. And there are three executives that I believe eventually this new brass, new ownership will pay for in LA: Sam Presti, Bob Myers, or Masai Ujiri. Which is why the Lakers need to have a dominant offseason and season. Look at the Western Conference odds. And these odds, with the Lakers being the fifth best, okay, that tracks. They need a shot-blocking center. They need someone to play defense. I did think that they had an excellent draft pick, the Arkansas kid, last night. I thought that was a tremendous, tremendous pick. By the way, 6'8", this guy, you know we watched a ton of SEC basketball this past year, led Arkansas in scoring. I really think that getting Thero with that 36th pick, I thought that was a tremendous, tremendous move. One thing they can't have is the Dallas Mavericks being better than them. I mean, that would be a disaster for the LA Lakers. I don't understand how Mark Williams could pass physicals in Charlotte and pass physicals in Phoenix, but can't pass a physical in Los Angeles. Fascinated to see what the Lakers do with LeBron, with Austin Reeves. Luka's going to need a new deal coming up soon. And the draft was strong last night. Remember, by trading up and giving cash in the deal, they now can't go over the second apron financially. That's something big to chew on for the LA Lakers. I think we are looking at, they have to get a big shot-blocking center. I still can't get over the fact that Mark Williams is not playing for Los Angeles. You need to see their odds of winning the West increase. Remember, they played brilliantly down the stretch of the season. They were the 3 seed in the Western Conference. This is a pivotal offseason on so many different levels coming up here for Rob Pelinka. Let's get some baseball in the mix. And Shohei Ohtani and Clayton Kershaw able to power the Dodgers to a victory. By the way, there's a reason why when there's live baseball, we have the conversations and update the odds and tell you what to bet on if there's an in-game play. And if you remember yesterday on Make It Rain with Adam Schein, we said, take the Dodgers on the run line when there was good juice on it, when it was a 1-1 game. That obviously hits, so you're welcome. And it was at minus 140 at the time. So that's good stuff in terms of the in-game betting. And anytime you could see these two stars and legends, you know, carry the Dodgers, it's pretty remarkable. I mean, I've made the case, we'll continue to make it, Clayton Kershaw is the greatest of all time. I firmly believe that. And listen, he's three away from 3,000 strikeouts. No pitcher in baseball had a greater stretch of domination in the regular season than Clayton Kershaw. And how about the Dodgers, man? Six games ahead when you look at it, you know, over the Padres and the Giants, and they're 20 games over 500. I mean, this team's a machine. With all the different injuries and all the 15 different starters they've had in the rotation, the toughness, the talent, Dave Roberts, the organization, man, take a bow. This is really impressive stuff, and that's why I will continue to say, don't bet on anybody else to win the National League or win the World Series. Just like I told you last year, it's Dodgers baseball as far as Make It Rain with Adam Schein is concerned. How about the tight race in the American League East? We have three teams that are separated by three games in the division. And you saw the Yankees were idle yesterday, and the Blue Jays were able to win, and the Rays were able to win. And take a look at the American League East and the standings here. And I'll tell you, there's some real juice on the Jays when you look at it from a value standpoint. Plus 750, you could easily make the case that the Blue Jays are as talented or more talented than any of these three teams. Tampa's playing sensational ball. Baez is now 8-3. Shane Baez was phenomenal for Tampa. They busted out the brooms. They swept away the Kansas City Royals yesterday. That was just an incredible, incredible job when you take a look at it by this team. You know, all three teams, when you look at it, the Yankees have the A's. That should be a game and a series they should be able to win. Rays have the Orioles. That's a game tonight and a series they should be able to win. Blue Jays have the Red Sox. Game tonight and a series they should be able to win. Buckle up, Buttercup. I think the smart money, though, in the juice, plus 750 on your Toronto Blue Jays.
You're watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you are serious about winning this football season, the VSiN NFL Betting Guide is your first real edge. It comes out on Tuesday, July 1st, and it's packed with in-depth previews of all 32 teams, season win total breakdowns, best bets from the trusted VSiN experts, the player props, the betting projections, everything you need to bet smarter all season long. Kick off your season with confidence and get full access to every VSiN betting guide, daily best bet emails, exclusive content through the Super Bowl, all for just $175. Your smartest NFL season bet starts right now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Time right now to shine on football. And listen, it is never too early to get ahead on quarterback props and season props and win total props and player props. So we're going to hit you over the head with a whole bunch of plays here for four teams in the NFL at the quarterback position and how that equals wins and how that equals what to play in respective divisions. Let's start with the Cleveland Browns at the quarterback position, and check out the odds as we speak right now via our good friends over at FanDuel for who's going to be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. And listen, my opinion and the smart money has changed in my opinion on a few different levels here with Cleveland. First of all, there's no way Shedeur Sanders starts week one. And you can see he is a distant plus 700. I think the two best bets on the board, Joe Flacco plus money, plus 110, and Dylan Gabriel at plus 500. There was a period of time where I thought Kenny Pickett was a good play. And I know when they brought him in, they thought there was a real shot that he was going to be the week one starter. And I'm not ruling that out. But the reason why I'm not betting that is because I think that you have to look at the four for three. Four names for three spots. I don't think Cleveland's keeping four quarterbacks. It's the Browns, so, you know, anything's possible. You once had a homeless guy tell Jimmy Haslam to draft Johnny Manziel to save the city. That's a real Sal Palantonio report. And Sal, of course, is my guy. I mean, you can't make that up if you tried. I mean, it is Cleveland Browns football here. But I think there's a shot that either Pickett or Shador gets cut. So Dillon Gabriel, remember, they drafted him in the third round. Shador was in the fifth round. One was on day two, one was on day three. One's taking reps with the first team at minicamp and OTAs, one is not. One is a model citizen. The other, you know, is wearing headphones during draft interviews and got cited for two speeding tickets in the month of June. So I think Flacco is the odds-on favorite because he's already won with Kevin Stefanski. They won, you know, they made the playoffs. They had to get rid of him because he was too good. And, you know, they had to try and still force-feed Deshaun Watson. How did that work out? So I would sprinkle a little pizza money on either Flacco or Dillon Gabriel. You know, I liked Pickett when they signed him. He leaves and smart money not in that direction. Now, I do have a bet on Cleveland for the over. I still think this team has talent, and I still think Kevin Stefanski can coach. And if you believe, and Vegas does, and I agree that Joe Flacco is the starting quarterback, I like the over here at 4.5 at minus 160. And I look, the schedule is ridiculously impossible. I mean, look at this. Bengals, Ravens, Packers, Lions, Vikings, Steelers to start. Now, can they beat the Dolphins? Can they beat the Patriots? Can they beat the Jets? That's not out of the realm of possibility. You know, can they win week one, which I think is an important one? Zach Taylor's teams historically started horrendously slow from a Cincy standpoint. That's not impossible either. You know, can you find five wins on this schedule? I think that you can for now. You know, I think monitoring who starts and when. If it's Dillon Gabriel, we never had this conversation. If it's Joe Flacco, I absolutely love the over here when it comes to the Cleveland Browns for this upcoming season. Who should start a quarterback for the New Orleans Saints? Honestly, you can't even place a bet on this one. It's Tyler Shook. And, you know, at minus 310, there is no juice. There's nothing attached here that in any way, shape, or form is going to be a positive thing here for you know, your betting purposes. I do think when you take a look at the Saints' schedule, right, I think this is a really interesting situation when you look at it from a New Orleans standpoint. Saints are going to be awful this year, like absolutely dreadful. They still have some pieces, Kamara, obviously, and Chris Olave, and Cam Jordan. I do happen to love their new head coach, Kellen Moore, but I think the under is the play. I mean, this schedule is tough. The quarterback situation is brutal. I just don't see how this team gets over 6.5 for this upcoming season. And I think in the NFC South, this is a last place team. There's no other way to phrase it. I think that Tampa Bay and the Atlanta Falcons are both going to win over 10 games this year. So that's how I would play the division. I would go with Tampa on the over. I would go with Atlanta and the over. I would not touch Carolina right now. And I would go with the under on the New Orleans Saints. Who should start a quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts? Honestly, when you look at the odds on FanDuel, I can't believe Daniel Jones is only minus 106. Like, I keep thinking that that's a misprint. Daniel Jones is a lock to start week one. I don't even think Anthony Richardson, health-wise, quitting on the team, tapping out last year. Everyone's kind of in job preservation mode. In theory, the Colts should be ready to rock and roll. I happen to like Riley Leonard a lot, just saying that, the former Duke and Notre Dame quarterback. But he's not going to be the week one starter here for our purposes. I could see him being a solid backup and eventual starter in the NFL. And I actually think he's a great fit running the ball and throwing it in Shane Steichen's offense. But I digress. Daniel Jones, I mean, this is one you absolutely bank. Daniel Jones, minus 106. I don't think Richardson's even in the conversation. Take a look at the Colts' schedule here. They have to win. Chris Ballard's literally never won a division. Jim Irsay passed away. His daughters take over. You know, I think the over's the play. I know the over's the play. At, you know, they should win 8 games on schedule, talent around Daniel Jones. You know, Jones did have the one magical year when he was coached up brilliantly by Brian Daboll. He's never a long-term answer. Can you find 8 wins, talent and coaching-wise, on this schedule? Yes. I mean, they did win 8 last year, and that quarterback situation was a disaster. I have to believe that they duplicate that for this upcoming season. But take a look at the odds in the AFC South. And this is where things get really interesting here for the Indianapolis Colts. I know there are going to be a lot of people who are going to try and bang Indy to win the division, a plus 380. Not me. I will tell you, and the VSiN guide is coming out next Tuesday, there is a real part of me that looks at either the obvious one with Houston at plus 115. There's a real part of me that thinks Tennessee is going to be the team that goes worst to first. There's always one. You have to try and find and pick one. There's always one team in the NFL. That's how the league is set up, that goes from worst to first. Jacksonville, I think, can hit the over. Indianapolis hits the over. I love Tennessee with the over. You know, smart money's on Houston, right? They should be solid this year. And I love DeMeco Ryans as a head coach. C.J. Stroud did not play well last year. I was stunned by it. Just something to consider when you're betting the AFC South. Now, you look at the Giants in week one starter odds, and Russell Wilson is going to be the guy. I'm starting Jackson Dart week one. Brian Daboll is not going to do it, even though he's raved about him at OTAs and minicamp. I love the Jackson Dart pick. I thought that was sensational. That was phenomenal. And when you look at the Giants' schedule, I'm starting Jackson Dart the minute he's ready. I'm not worried about how tough the Giants' schedule is. I'm not worried about that at all. Listen, I'm telling you right now, one of my picks for week one, when we have Make It Rain with Adam Schein, when we make our picks every game against the spread, I'm going to grab the points with the Giants week one against Washington. I wouldn't even be surprised if they stole a win. You know, I think the Giants, we look at the NFC East odds board, they're going to be better than people anticipate this year. I love the over for the Giants, plus money, plus 110 to 5.5. I'm telling you right now, I think Dallas is making the playoffs, and I think Dallas to win the division of plus 600 is a play that I like a lot. You never have repeat winners. Everyone and their mother, including mine, I talked to her before the show, is going to pick Washington to win the division. I might do something wild in this division. Brian Schottenheimer's got it going on, and getting George Pickens opposite Lamb, healthy Prescott, improved offensive line, improved run game. I would not be surprised to see Dallas win that division. But I think the Giants, take a look at the Defensive Rookie of the Year odds. I think Abdul Carter is going to be unbelievable. That's the favorite in Vegas to be the Defensive Rookie of the Year. That'll be my pick. That'll be my bet. That Giants defensive line is going to be excellent this year. I think the Giants not only have the Defensive Rookie of the Year, I think they hit the over on their win total for this upcoming season.
This is VSiN, the sports betting network. You're watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hedge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are in fact approved. No usage fees, no minimums, certain cashback rewards, 100% approval rating for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with the promo code RAIN. Deposit $25 and Hedge Boost is going to match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. Welcome back, Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Joining us right now live with a progressive guest line, one of my all-time favorites, Chris Spatola, of course. College basketball analyst for ESPN and a critically acclaimed host on SiriusXM. Chris, how are you?
With you, man. It's been some time. It's good to see your face. It's great to be here.
Listen, anytime I see you, anytime I talk to you, I feel good. I feel smarter after having a conversation with you. Always love listening to you, watching you. You do such an amazing job. And listen, this is perfect because you're great on college hoops. You're great on the NBA. And this is perfect in your wheelhouse in terms of the draft. And look, I am obsessed with Cooper Flagg. I just love watching him play last year at Duke. His ability to do everything, his work ethic, what Coach Shire says about him, how his game, Chris, should translate to me to the NBA level. How special do you think he can be in the NBA?
I think he can be incredibly special. I think, I mean, first of all, start with how young he is. I mean, think about how good he's going to be when he's 23 years old. You know, he just turned 18, and he had that impact. He was, to me, by the end of the season, Adam, he was the runaway National Player of the Year at 18 years old. Again, extrapolate that to how good he's going to be in a handful of years. Look, I don't want to belabor the point about his game has been made. I don't want to belabor that. I think the thing about Flagg is it was so refreshing this year to have a superstar, especially a young star who brought the winning intangibles, the character elements, the competing, the playing hard, the unselfishness, this constant pursuit of making the right play, not the play about himself. It may have been him scoring the ball. It may have been him delivering a pass. It may have been him rotating over to block a shot. It was about making the right basketball play. And when we come off an NBA Finals where we saw two franchises, OKC in Indiana, sort of rewrite this idea of how you build a culture, and it's starting with the players you put into your locker room. And Nikola Jokic, that humble superstar, you know, defining what it means to be the MVP of a league and be that competitive, you know, unselfish superstar. That's what Flagg is. And so the injection of that into your locker room in Dallas, outside of the player and the talent he is, to bring that into your culture is a great addition.
Listen, I love it. And I think that he's going to really help the Mavericks out instantly. And, you know, for our purposes, let's take a look at some of the props that are out on DraftKings for Cooper Flagg. And look, I wouldn't be surprised if he averaged 18 plus. I wouldn't be surprised if he averaged 7 rebounds a game, and he will be my pick. And I know there are guys who might score more, perhaps, in different situations where they're the focal point of an offense and sole scorer, frankly. But he'll be my pick at minus 185 for Rookie of the Year. What kind of numbers and instant impact, Chris, do you think he'll have for the Dallas Mavericks this season?
Yeah, the only one there, and I think he's going to hit all those. Like, I'm with you. I think the points there are right on. Like, I could see him. Again, he's not a guy who's going out every night to go for 25. Now, that may happen more often than not. The 6 rebounds, I think, is low, to be honest with you. Like, I think he's going to kick. He is a volume defensive rebounder. He's always around the defensive glass. And especially for a young player, you know, sometimes that's got to be encouraged strongly. So I think that number's low. The Rookie of the Year, I don't think is without question. Now, the one number there in terms of the props that you know, I balk at a little bit is to score 40-plus. It's not really in his game. I don't know. He had that type of a number, I think, once this year, you know. So it's not where he's going out to be this volume scorer. And his inability to shoot it, I think, consistently, at least early in his NBA career from 3, makes that number a little harder to achieve. But all those other props there that you threw up, I feel great about.
Yeah, we're on the same page there. Now, I'm fascinated to get your take when it comes to Ace Bailey. And my goodness, I feel like he's just getting some really poor advice. And, you know, if anything, I'd look at the Utah situation if I'm Ace Bailey, and I'd say, great, it's Danny Ainge. It's the Ainge family. You know, I can be a focal point of a team that's going to be young and talented. I love the Walter Clayton Jr. pick. You know, he wasn't there with Walter Clayton Jr., and that's kind of a big deal in terms of flying to Utah right after the draft on Thursday. He's got to be there on Monday. What's your read on this situation?
Well, I think you alluded to it right off the top. He's being poorly advised. Omar Cooper it's bad representation. He is not serving in the best interest of his client. It's one of the reasons why Zion Williamson just changed his representation to Bill Duffy. I mean, to go with a seasoned veteran operator in that space who obviously knows what he's doing, but has your best interest at heart. So it starts there, Adam. He's being misadvised. He's exaggerating or has a higher opinion of his talent than his talent really is. He's not that good. I mean, to be playing these types of tactics, given your talent, we just had the conversation about Cooper Flagg. He's the antithesis of that, and he's not even right. Perhaps half the player. It starts to illuminate a little bit why a team that had two top five picks in Rutgers doesn't make the NCAA tournament. There are 64 teams that make the NCAA tournament. It's kind of hard not to if you have that type of talent, regardless of what's around that talent. And the fact that that team did not make the NCAA tournament, you're starting to understand a little bit of why. Perhaps the dynamics were a little bit off there. Certainly Bailey as a player. I mean, he takes bad shots. He takes a lot of contested shots. Those are things that are not productive towards winning basketball. And like you said, you know, the guys that they drafted around him are adults. I mean, Walter Clayton Jr. he's a grown up and he's a national champion. John Tonji was the oldest player in this draft at 24 years old, who I think is a really good player. I think he's one of the second round steals. So to not get on board, he's obviously being poorly advised and he's taking that advice and it's not going to serve him well, I don't think, in the long term.
Yeah, we're on the exact same page. Listen, I'm a draft geek, and I still love college basketball, so I want to get your take because you study this. You know, round two steals. I thought Charlotte, by the way, had a terrific draft, and I love what they did in round two. I thought Philly with Broome, I thought that was great. We talked about Thero, the Arkansas kid for the Lakers earlier in the show. I think Cam Jones can flat-out play, and I love that fit in Indiana. Give us some names and some fits that you like in terms of some potential round two steals.
Yeah, I like all the ones you just mentioned. There's two organizations that took a lot of flack, perhaps for some of the mechanics of how they got to the place that they did. But I actually like their second round picks. First of all, with New Orleans, I love the Micah Peavy pick. Now, again, he's old. Like some of these guys, these organizations get scared off, as you know, Adam, by these older players. But you're talking about a Micah Peavy who was fantastic this year for Georgetown. I mean, he averaged 17 a game. He became, you know, early in his career, he played most of his career at TCU. He started at Texas Tech. So he had a long journey in college. But the main knock on him was he was this great athlete, which he still is, and a terrific defender, but that he couldn't shoot the basketball. But he comes in this year for Georgetown, and he shoots 40% from three and really shows the propensity to score the basketball. I love that pick. And again, regardless of New Orleans mechanics in that first round. And then in the second round, if you believe in Rashear Fleming, which I do, and clearly Phoenix did, like I'm okay with making that move to go up and get him. So to pair Fleming and then Kobe Brea, and I know Phoenix has a glut of guards, Adam, but to get, I mean, he was by far the best shooter in college basketball this year. He put up shooting numbers that are beyond Curry-esque, just in terms of percentages and range and where he can shoot it from. So, you know, assuming that they figure out their guard situation and there's a spot where they can play him, like he's an automatic bucket. And I think, you know, we'll be really effective at that NBA three-point line. So those two organizations I thought did pretty nicely in the second round.
Absolutely. Real quick, winners in the draft. I thought Atlanta did a great job. Spurs did a great job. Philly did a great job. Any specific teams that you want to single out here?
I would go with two you mentioned. First of all, Philly, sticking to your guns. Like Edgecombe was the pick there. He was. And they clearly liked him and said, we're going to go in that direction. And then you had mentioned Broome, so I didn't bring him up in the last question there. But I think taking Jahni Broome is a great pick. Like, you can't fake those numbers that he put up this year. He had a fantastic year. I mean, it was he and Cooper Flagg, as you know. So to go in that direction of that guy, I think was a great pick by Philly.
You nailed it, Chris. I'm with you completely. Love what Philly did. We'll be right back.
watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you looking for a more exciting way to bet? It's called xCounta.com, spelled X-C-U-T-T-A. And it's the future of futures wagering. It combines the adrenaline of a live auction with the strategy of sports betting or fantasy picks. Easy to use. Works for any sports, over 1,000 teams, players, golfers, drivers. xCounta is adaptable to any sport, even horse racing, and it's free to sign up. You pick who you want to bid on, customize your own auction, set up the winnings, invite your friends to play, even creates auctions for free. xCounta has free auctions every single day at 3, 6, and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Send an email to supports@xCounta.com, mention VSiN, and they'll give you a 3-month player promo code to get started. xCounta is a sports Calcutta. xCounta.com, X-C-U-T-T-A. Welcome back. Make it rain with Adam Schein. Time right now for our news, notes, nuggets, and our nightly plays. And we've got baseball tonight. I am so fired up. Wish we had at least one day baseball game, but it's not my day to run Major League Baseball. Wish that it was, but I digress. Astros able to take care of business and sweep away the Philadelphia Phillies. And, you know, don't look now, but the Houston Astros are piping hot. And, you know, Houston is just doing an unbelievable job when you take a look at it, taking care of business and out kicking all expectations. And they've got the Cubs tonight in the Kyle Tucker revenge game. So it's fascinating when you look at it. And I would not be surprised, and if you're looking for a prop tonight, would not be surprised to see Kyle Tucker return to Houston and hit a home run. I think that the Kyle Tucker home run prop or Kyle Tucker over on hits, certainly a way to attack this one tonight. I also think that when you take a look at the AL West odds, the Astros need to be taken beyond seriously. And need to be taken seriously, and I was dead wrong here on Houston. I did not like them before the season. Their pitching has been amazing. The Rangers, you know, they're starting to play better, but they have not been able to maintain any kind of consistency. The Mariners had a shot to run away with this thing early, not the case. Angels, nice little story. Nice to see Mike Trout playing some relevant baseball. But look at this. I mean, this team, the Astros, they're 15 games over 500, and the division odds not even worth a bet because it's minus 370 right now. I mean, it's kind of crazy. I think if anything, and I'm picking Detroit to win the league, but if anything, if you want a future play with juice, it's the Astros at plus 450. I mean, we could get A.J. Hinch and his Tigers versus the Astros here in the ALCS. I mean, the fact that they swept the Phillies and the way that they've been able to pitch, the way Pena's playing at shortstop, give Estrada, the manager, a ton of credit. And I thought after trading Kyle Tucker, that was insane. And obviously, he's had a major, amazing impact on the Cubbies. Man, that is, I am beyond impressed, and I've been beyond dead wrong here when you look at what the Astros have been able to do. Mets able to beat the Atlanta Braves, but they lost Griffin Canning last night, and I mean, Canning, the fact that he suffered a left ankle injury and it looked like an Achilles, according to Carlos Mendoza, that's rough. Absolutely rough. And when it rains, it pours here with the Mets and their pitching woes and pitching injuries. But the Mets are able to salvage and take a couple games in this series. So, you know, that's kind of a big deal. You know, able to win on Wednesday, able to win last night. Pete Alonso had 3 hits last night. And all of a sudden, even with the Mets, who had lost 10 of 11 before they won on Wednesday, the Mets are in first place in the NL East. And I do want to at least acknowledge the heart and the great job that Mendoza's done. You know, I keep thinking the Braves are going to make a run. Should have been 2 games. They should have been able to win against the Mets last couple of days. I still think all the smart money is on Philly, and I think Philly's going to end up winning that division. But Philly got swept. Mets show a little heart, little gumption. And as dreadful as the Mets have been over the last couple of weeks, here it is, the final Friday in June. And your New York Mets are in first place when you take a look at the NL East. That is absolutely wild. Cardinals and Guards coming up tonight. And I think that you obviously, if you're me, always look at Sonny Gray props. Strikeouts 5.5. You know I love playing it. -150. Outs recorded for Sonny Gray, 7.5, -160. How about to record a win is +150. I'll play the strikeouts here for our guy, Sonny Gray. We've got the Dodgers at the Royals tonight, May versus Cameron. And listen, I think that at this stage, betting the Royals is just, it's an impossibility. And I know they're at home, but I think the Dodgers will absolutely win this game. May will pitch well. And the Royals right now just don't have any consistency on offense. So it's tough to believe that you're going to see Kansas City get a dub tonight. Blue Jays, Red Sox in New England's living room tonight. Bayo against Berrios, and it's impossible to bet on Boston. And I know they're favored in this one, but I think that is absolutely crazy. I do not trust Boston. They've been terrible since the just unfathomable Devers deal. The fans are antsy. There's no such thing as home field advantage. Blue Jays should absolutely be able to take advantage of the schedule and beat Boston. They have a series. I know it's in Boston, not easy to play there. I think Red Sox fans are completely fed up. Toronto wins tonight. Toronto is going to take 2 out of 3 against the Boston Red Sox. Rangers, Mariners, a fascinating showdown in the AL West, and it's going to be a good pitching matchup tonight. Logan Gilbert going up against Nate Eovaldi. Should be a good one, reflected in the over-under. It's only at 7 tonight. I think that you're going to see the Rangers ultimately win this game. I think Eovaldi comes to play. I think Texas gets to 500 with a dub tonight. Padres, Reds, couple teams I had making the playoffs beginning of the year. You know, there's some good plus money, good value on the Reds tonight. And I think that Nick Martinez can pitch well. I think the Reds, I know they lost the final game against the Yankees, had an off day yesterday. They still beat the Yankees in the series. Dylan Cease never ceases to amaze me how up and down Jekyll and Hyde he could be. I will take the Reds tonight at +107. How about the Phillies and the Braves? We referenced the swoon here for Philadelphia. Obviously, the Braves lose a couple in a row against the Mets, which is unfathomable. Look, I think Philly can absolutely, with Mick Abel on the mound, get a dub tonight. Plus money on the better team, I'll take the Philadelphia Phillies. How about the WNBA for tonight and some big breaking news? Caitlin Clark is out. I repeat, Caitlin Clark, fever wings tonight. Caitlin Clark is out. And I give you that to give you this. I still love the fever tonight. I really think that the Fever will be able to get a dub. I do not. And I would just take them on the money line. -148. Nice and easy. By the way, you're welcome, America. I got all your tweets after the game last night. Our best bet, the G-Bank best bet hit last night. Kelsey Plum over last night at 20.5. You're welcome, America and Canada. Liberty taking on the Mercury tonight. And that is one where I think where you look at it, and honestly, the fact that there's plus money on the Liberty, I mean, give me Liberty or give me death. I'll take New York +100 tonight to get a dub in Phoenix. Time right now to give out our best bets, brought to you by GBank, introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and Visa. All you need to do is open up a GBank Visa Signature credit card. First 90 days. Deposit and play through $1,000 at first bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You receive $200 in cash back on your rewards on the GBank Visa Signature credit card. First bet's going to give you a $100 deposit match. Visa completes the old trifecta with a free Visa Pro subscription through October the 31st, $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, first bet, and Visa. Just head on over to VSiN.com/GBank. VSiN.com/GBank. This, of course, is a one-time promotion. It's limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer. Will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts, so apply today. Terms and conditions apply. We're going to give you a slew of plays. Ready? We love the baseball card tonight. We're going to go with the Cubs on the money line, the Phillies on the money line, Reds on the money line, Dodgers on the money line, Rangers on the money line, Blue Jays on the money line. We got that puppy at plus money for the Blue Jays. Yankees A's over I think that that's going to be a high-scoring affair at a hot, humid night at Yankee Stadium. Sonny Gray over strikeouts. And you know what? Throw the Liberty on there. Why not? Let's throw the Liberty on there as well. So we got Cubs, Phillies, Reds, Dodgers, Rangers, Blue Jays, Yankees, A's over, Sonny Gray over strikeouts at minus 150. Stay tuned to VSiN After Make It Rain for Follow the Money. Really looking forward to it. Then, of course, it's VSiN Primetime and then the Sports Gambling Podcast with Sean Green, not that Sean Green, but our Sean Green, and Ryan Kramer, 11 p.m. Eastern. Thanks to the guys in Vegas, our incredible producer, Mike Cohen. Have a great weekend. Talk to you Monday. Make it rain with Adam Shine.